It is a great blessing to be here with you this morning. I was reminded of what a great blessing it is. I appreciated in Sam's prayer earlier regarding the fruit of the vine was thanking God that his family could surround the throne of grace. We are the family of God. You are my brothers and my sisters here as Christians at Smart Road. And it's a great privilege and a blessing to be here with you this morning. If you would open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, I appreciated Drew reading that passage for me this morning. I'd like to reread verses 24 and 25. I'm going to talk about motivation this morning. Being motivated from inside of ourselves and our spirits, and from being motivated outside. In particular, we're going to talk about the assemblies of the church, but yet this pertains to every aspect of our following God, whether it's talking about the assemblies of the church or the private individual lives as a light to the world. The same principle pertains. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Apparently, it's always been a problem among God's people to motivate Christians to attend the assemblies of the saints. As the writer says, as is the manner of some to forsake the assemblies. Human nature here is a stumbling block. Maybe this pertains more today than ever before, although I'm not sure of that. With all the different entertainments we have, the things that can take our attention, the things that Satan offers us as alternatives to meeting with the body of Christ. Now, sometimes we cannot meet with the church. There are things that get in the way. I understand that, and God certainly understands that. I was reminded a number of years ago when Rebecca had to have her gallbladder taken out. We went through Saturday night not knowing exactly what it was. I kept telling her it was going to be all right. She would be fine, didn't have to go to the doctor, but she insisted she go, and thankfully she did. And so I chose to be with her that morning during the surgery rather than meet with the body of Christ. I believe that was the right decision. So sometimes, certainly, there are things that get in the way, and we cannot meet. We do not live in a perfect world. I understand that, but more often than not, we do what we want to do. And it's so easy to choose to participate in activities that take us away from God's people, that take us away from our family, from our brothers and our sisters. And when we do make those choices, it's easy to rationalize it in our minds. We have a tendency to want to seek the spiritual minimum weekly requirement and only do what we think God requires of us rather than doing what we need to do. That's really a lie from Satan. There is no minimum requirement to serve God unless you consider the minimum requirement to be Romans 12 and 1, offering your lives a living sacrifice, and that is everything. And it's so easy to think, well, God only requires that I be there for 1 hour once a week, or he only requires I be there for 10 minutes to share the Lord's Supper, and then I can do what I want. In that, we believe a lie, as if God requires just a portion of our lives, when God requires our entire life as a living sacrifice to him. We're going to talk about this morning how we should be motivated from the inside as well as the outside. I really appreciated Tim's lesson this morning about glorifying God and the things that glorify God, whether it's nature or whether it's our lives doing, obeying the will of God. And we need to understand that, yes, we give God glory when we meet with the body. Anytime we obey God and his will, we glorify God in the eyes of the world. Even when the world might not understand it, even when the world might make fun of us, we still glorify God. We lift him up when we obey the Lord's will. Our worship, our public worship here is an honor to his wonderful works and who he is as our God, as our provider. This can easily be seen, if not easily obeyed. And yet the Bible goes even further when we meet in the name of the Lord. It's not simply to glorify God, although that's not a simple thing, but it also is to our benefit. We are benefited when we obey God. Not only does God receive glory, but we receive the good from doing what God wants us to do. And certainly that is one of the reasons why we should meet with the body of Christ. It's because we receive the essential good. The Lord did not create us as drones to simply do what we're told to do without rationalizing and understanding why. The Bible explains to us much of God's will as to what it does for me and how I'm benefited by it. He created us with rational minds, able to discern the purpose of His will. Jeremiah tells us that His people shall learn to fear Him for the good of them, for the benefit to them, by fearing God. You see, His will is always to our betterment. There is nothing that God has ever required of us that is going to harm us spiritually. Now, sometimes we may suffer physically because of it. Many, many Christians have suffered, have given their lives. But ultimately, they were not harmed truly in their spirits by obeying God. And we can study the scriptures, and they're not only going to reveal His will for us, but more often they're going to reveal why God wants us to do such and such. The Lord took the time through the Holy Spirit to teach us this wisdom, to teach us of the advantages of obeying Him. And certainly, meeting with the body of Christ is part of obeying Him. Here's what I mean by some examples as to why we do what God wants us to do. We have the example of studying the scriptures. Jesus said, "You study, for in them you know you may have eternal life. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." But studying the scriptures is much more. It's not simply an academic exercise. It's taking what God's word, what God wants us to know, and applying it. It's to our benefit that we do that. When we share the Lord's Supper here, yes, we show forth the Lord's death until He comes. But think of the spiritual benefit we enjoy. We're encouraged by our brothers and our sisters, by the family of God, by sharing that with us. We're reminded of the good things that God has for us in His church, such as sharing the Lord's Supper that will help us so that when we go out into the world, so that we will be faithful to the Lord, so that we will be more aware of the darts and the temptations that Satan has for us. When we give as we have prospered, as the church just did just a moment ago, yes. And I believe the side benefit is so that we have funds to use of the Lord's glory, so that the work can be done, the church can continue to be edified, so that Bibles can be purchased, so that teaching materials, so that evangelists can be supported, so that brethren who lack can have what they need. But I'm convinced that particular work goes far beyond that. We are benefited with the privilege of giving back to God in a direct way a portion of what God has given us. We are the ones that gain the advantage of that. And certainly God had that in mind when He instructed Paul through the Holy Spirit to give as we have prospered on the Lord's day. Those are just some examples as to how we are benefited. Now, if we better understand the assemblies are to our benefit, we're going to be more motivated to participate with them. And not only the assemblies, but other activities with the body of Christ. Because, you know, we naturally do what we think is in our best interest. But unfortunately, sometimes we don't know what's in our best interest. Sometimes we are deceived. Sometimes Satan convinces us that we need something when we really do not. But we do other things. We eat because it's in our best interest. We sleep. We dress according to the weather. I've often wondered what kind of, and I appreciated Tim's comments about the Chiefs back in their quote-unquote glory days, assuming they had some. I'm from Denver. We've won two Super Bowls in a row. How many have you won here? That's beside the point. Why do we root for a sports team? There's some kind of psychic mental exercise there that we think we receive some kind of good from it. Now, depending on where you live, you may receive more good than others, but that's beside the point. The point is, we do what's in our best interest. If we could understand a proper comprehension of what God has in mind for us regarding the church, then we're going to hunger to participate with the body. Just like we hunger and participate in other things that we think are good for us. You think about all the good that we receive from it, that we cannot receive other places. We receive encouragement from our brothers and from our sisters, from the lessons that we receive, from the kind words that we receive. Now, yes, to a certain extent, yes, we can receive encouragement by ourselves, by studying the Bible, by praying in our closet. And these are all good things. But they are not a substitute for what we receive from the body of Christ. We receive strengthening from the church that we can only receive from the body of Christ. We receive fellowship and communion together. We receive knowledge of God's word. We receive admonitions. We receive rebukes that we will not receive otherwise. Ultimately, we receive preparation for eternal life, so that we will be ready for the Lord when he comes, so that we will not be like the five foolish virgins whose lamps were not ready, they were not lit, so that we will be like the wise ones, so that we will be ready for the coming of the Lord. I like the way Paul writes about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 when he's reminding the church, you already know about the coming of the Lord. And he goes on to talk about how you know about it. You're children of light, not of darkness. You're sober, you're not drunk. But in verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. I am convinced that you know about the coming of the Lord, that you're ready for the coming of the Lord, because you are being comforted by the brothers and the sisters, because you are being edified and strengthened by the body of Christ. And there is no substitute for what we can receive in the assemblies of the saints. This is the body that we participate in. This is the family in regard to our Christian walk that we enjoy. I am convinced that we cannot remain faithful to God without the body of Christ, or else why do we have it? Why did Jesus, Jesus did not just die for us as individuals. He died for the church. He purchased the church with his own blood. Why would he purchase something with his precious blood that we don't need? We must have our brothers and our sisters to remain faithful to the Lord. We need them for these very things we just talked about, for the strength, for the encouragement, for the rebuking. We need this family to help us walk with God. We need one another. And if not, what's the purpose of the church? For decoration? For pride? No. For our essential salvation. And the more involved we are with the body of Christ, the more protected we're going to be. Because there are wolves, there are lions, seeking whom they may devour through Satan. And they're looking for us. And they're hoping we'll slip and we'll make a mistake. Recently, well, it's been a few years ago, some foolish gentleman was at a zoo somewhere and he stuck his arm into the cage of a lion. And the lion took his arm. And they interviewed him later. He said, well, I really didn't think about it. Well, that's the way Satan is. Sometimes we don't think about it. But Satan is there watching. Satan knows us and he knows our weaknesses much better than we know ourselves. But yet the more nourished we are as a result of the body of Christ, the more protected we're going to be. The more aware. We're not going to be like him. We're going to be aware of what Satan can do. And rather than trying to stay as close as we can to sin without, quote-unquote, participating in it, we're going to draw away from it. It's like a giant circle, and rather than trying to be close to the edge because we want to perhaps enjoy at least watching people do things that aren't good, we're going to be far away from that in the center, where we can be close-knit, where we can be protected from Satan. And part of that protection is from our brothers and from our sisters. You think about those that have left the church in your experience, and there have been many. It's simply the way of man. Many of them, if not all of them, part of that leaving the church was drawing away from what God wanted them to do, was not meeting with the body the way they should have, or not appreciating what God provided to him through them through the church. And they're not protected. They're not nourished. They're not strengthened. They're made weak. They're made less aware of what Satan wants to do to them. And understanding this important aspect of Christ's will should help motivate us to participate in the body of Christ. Now, a large part of this motivation must come from within inside, because ultimately, we do what we want to do. That's a fact of life that sometimes we don't like to admit. This is a fact that I have learned. There are some exceptions, certainly. I would have liked to have been with the body of Christ that Sunday morning when Rebecca had her surgery. But I chose to be with her to honor my wife. But I still did what I wanted to do. Now, there are sometimes physical things keep us away. There are brothers and sisters that aren't able to do what they want to do because of physical things that keep, perhaps they're in the hospital, perhaps they're sick. I understand that. But most of the time, we participate in the things that we value. We prioritize with our actions, not our words. It's easy to say good things that we want to do. but it's much harder to do then. Now, this is not necessarily a negative principle in itself. This is just a fact of life. However, this is one that makes us feel uncomfortable, especially when we find ourselves doing things that we know we should not be doing, or we find ourselves not doing things we should be doing, and we like to rationalize. We like to say, well, I really had no choice. Because it's easy to want to give an excuse for our behavior. Now, as in most of what we do, whether we attend the assemblies of the saints depends on what we want to do. If we value these assemblies as we should, we will be motivated from inside to participate in it. Ultimately, it doesn't really matter what other people say and do to us. We have to choose to obey God or not. And part of that choosing is recognizing the good that God has for me. Because we have the ability to make choices. Our choices are based on our priorities. Joshua said, you choose you this day whom you will serve, but we will serve the Lord. Why did he do that? Because his priority was God. That's why he was willing to make that choice. Why was it when the saints, when the apostles specifically were persecuted, when they were told, Peter and John were told to stop preaching Christ, they're in Acts chapter 4, where did they go? They went to their brothers and their sisters. And what did they do? They prayed together and they prayed for boldness. They prayed for strength. Because that's what they wanted to do. They were not willing to cower. They were not willing to give in to what the Pharisees and the scribes were demanding of them. They were willing to do what is right. The passage we just read and quoted there from Hebrews 10. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. To exhort means to encourage someone to do something. We exhort one another to do so many things. To love one another. To live our lives holy and righteous. To love our neighbors. To be true to our spouses. To parent our children. These are all things that we need to be encouraged to do. And that's what the word exhort means. And the writer connects the assemblies with exhorting one another. But sometimes we don't truly want to accept and understand what is in our best interest. We have the example of Priscilla and Aquila. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Somehow they were convinced that they needed to lie to the Holy Spirit and to the brethren. Now, I don't know of anywhere where God required that all the Christians sell everything they have and give it to the church. I don't know if there's any kind of requirement whatsoever. So I don't think that their sin was simply in not wanting to give everything they had to the church. Their sin was in lying about it. Their sin was trying to work a deal out, and they didn't even communicate together very well, saying, this is all that we have. Why didn't they say this is half of what we have? And we're going to keep the other half to live on. Somehow they were convinced, though, that they needed to lie about it. That was in their best interest. Maybe they saw all the other Christians giving what they had, like Barnabas and others. And they wanted to praise. They wanted the people to say, well, hey, that's really good of you. You're really a good Christian. But yet part of them wasn't willing to take that leap of faith. I don't know what was in their minds. But somehow they had been deceived into thinking they knew what they needed. The Bible says Demas left the Apostle Paul in the work because he loved the world. Somehow he was deceived into thinking he needed the world or part of the world in order to be happy. We are surrounded by a culture that believes that lie. That they need to invest everything they have into the world, into the possessions that it gains, into the fun that it provides. And that's what it is. It's a lie. They really don't need those things in order to be happy, but that's the lie Satan says. It's interesting. We ride down the highway a lot, and we see these advertisements on the side of the road, and one of the advertisements that I always think about when I see it are these group of individuals that are riding down a river in a raft. There's nothing wrong with that at all, certainly. But here, and they're all smoking cigarettes, and they're all having such a great time. So the advertiser wants you to think, if you want to have a good time, this is what you need to do. But what if they were true with that advertisement? What it showed about a certain, maybe half of those people, 30 years later, coughing up blood from their smoking habit? They're not going to show that. Now, which of the two would be the most true advertisement? Well, it'd be the latter. But that's not the way the world thinks. We're deceived into thinking we know what we need, when in reality, many times, we don't. Why are you here this morning? Hopefully all of you are here because you value the assembly of the Lord. Some of you might be here for other reasons. Some of you here because your parents made you. Well, if you're a child under their authority, that is not a bad motivation at all. They're hoping that one day you'll come to understand and appreciate, as you mature, the need to be here. Maybe you're here to please your parents or someone else. Why are you here this morning? You see, a certain part of what we do must be motivated from within ourselves. As adults, we can make that choice. We are not like the animal kingdom. And I know I get in trouble sometimes when I make these kind of statements that I'm going to say, but I'm still convinced it's right. What animal, what cow, while it's grazing out in the field, looks unto heaven and says, "Why was I created? Why am I here? What's my purpose?" I don't believe animals do that, least of all cats. But yet we do that. Job looked into the heavens and asked questions. Why am I here? What's my purpose? You see, that's what separates us from the animal world. What animal loves their creator like we have the potential to do? You see, there's a difference there. The Lord intended for us to choose what is right. And part of that choice must come from within ourselves. But you know what? Due to our weaknesses, due to my weaknesses, I need motivation from the outside. Perhaps there are a few in the body that don't. I don't know. I'm not going to make that judgment. But I think most of us need the motivation from the outside. I am not strong enough to serve God by myself. I'm not. I need the Lord and I need my brothers and my sisters. I need the encouragement that they provide. I need that motivation from the outside because I am weak. Paul was weak. I'm convinced Jesus had weaknesses. If he didn't, what was the purpose of the temptations? Do you think he was hungry when he was fasting for 40 days? Oh, absolutely. If not, it was just a big game. He defeated Satan not like a god. He defeated Satan like a man. Like a man should, I should say. He quoted the scriptures. Satan said, "Turn this stone into bread." And don't you know Jesus was hungry? And don't you know a part of his flesh wanted to do that? But how did he keep from doing it? By quoting the word of God. And don't you know a part of his flesh would have liked for the whole world to admire him and honor him and worship him when Satan said, "I'll give you these kingdoms"? But yet his spirit said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." He was able to defeat Satan as a man. So I believe Jesus had weaknesses. All of us have weaknesses. That's just part of life. And we need our brothers and our sisters to help us overcome these weaknesses. Now this outward motivation comes in so many aspects. In so many dynamics are we encouraged and strengthened. How many lessons have we learned by watching our brothers and our sisters go through trials and struggles? Sometimes that means very simply some older brother or sister who is in pain, but yet they're always there when, as they say, the door is open. Sometimes it means watching a brother or sister suffer. Perhaps they're young, and perhaps they have to suffer some disease that's not their fault, but yet they have a cheerful spirit. Look at the lessons that I learned from that. You see, it comes through our being taught, but it also comes through our service. Sometimes we're selfish. Sometimes we don't think about what we can do for others. We only think about what they do for us. But certainly part of the motivation of the body is the fact that we are all priests before God. We are all in a position to serve our brothers and our sisters. And once again, knowing the wisdom of God, I receive the benefit when I am willing to serve others. When I'm willing to fill their needs, I'm the one that is bettered by it, ultimately. Now, hopefully they, and I know they receive the good as well. But once again, we are strengthened by being a servant to others. We're strengthened by being aware of what others need. You see, this motivation comes from all different directions. Jesus said, upon this rock, upon the fact that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. And his church has so many aspects about it that pertain to us. But none of these are any more important than the assemblies of the church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another. We need to understand that we are benefited. We are bettered by it. We need to be motivated by those that are outside of ourselves, by our brothers and our sisters, by the church. But ultimately, we have to make the choice. We have to choose, just like Joshua, whether we will serve God or not. People can do all they can for us, but we have to make the final choice. Let us make the final choice to obey the Lord in all aspects of our lives. Let us offer that living sacrifice to God. Let's realize there is no minimum daily or weekly requirement. God wants my life. And only if he has my life can he save my soul. We're going to have a closing song this morning. I know the brothers and the sisters here very well. I know they want to serve you. If you're not a Christian, if you're ready to give your life to the Lord in faith and obedience, perhaps you still have some questions. Perhaps you're a Christian and you need the prayers of the church because of sin. Perhaps you're ready to openly state repentance. Certainly, one of the primary purposes for this closing song is that we might be motivated to think about God and how we can serve him and how we have let him down sometimes. Let's think about the Lord as we stand and as we sing.